Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer. But it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to another broadcast of Kingdom of God Ministries. And we're so glad that you could join us on this Saturday evening. We are broadcasting live, and before we get into our program, we always put our call-in number if you need prayer. Matter of fact, we're speaking on prayer to get results. You know, a lot of times as Christians, we feel we pray, and we don't feel like we're getting results. But God do hear our prayer. And tonight we are doing a YouTube video, so you'll be able to Google us on YouTube. We're going to title it Prayer to Get Results. So when you go to Kingdom of God Ministries, Prayer to Get Results. So you can Google us on YouTube. We're trying something different. We're going to be broadcasting live, but we're also going to be on YouTube because we got to get this message out, people. There's a lot of hurting people in the world. There's a lot of dying people who are dying, who don't know Jesus, who don't know the love of God. So help us. Help us. Will you join in with us? Will you let God touch your heart to just sow into the ministry? It may be a dollar. It may be $5. But whatever God gives you, will you please help us? We do this out of our own budget. We don't beg. We don't manipulate. We don't try to control. We ask that your givings be free will. And if you would like to donate, you can go to the KOGM.net website. There is a donate button. Feel free to donate any amount that God placed on your heart. Now, before we go into our program tonight, we always open up with prayer. So, Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord. We thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Lord God, we thank you that you have given us an opportunity where we can come live to your people via internet, via TV, via television, whatever method, Lord God. You gave us the wisdom, and you are with us. And we know you're with us, and we ask that you strengthen us as we do your will, your work. Lord God, it's not about us, but it's about the kingdom. And Lord God, we ask that you touch our listening audience, those that are listening, those that are bound up, those that feel that they don't have an answer, Lord God. We know that you have all the answer, everything they need, Father God. We know you have it. We know you care. All they have to do, Lord God, is call upon you. We know you came, Jesus, to set the captives free. So whoever is listening, be it Blog Talk Radio or YouTube, God hears and God loves you. If you would like to call in, we have a call-in number. Our host call-in number is 323-375-0849. And at the end, toward the last 30 minutes, we always open up our broadcast with prayer. And for those that are looking at a first-time YouTube video, we are in the Atlanta area. Wow. We teach the unadulterated word. We go strong. We go without the legalism, without the religion. But we practice the book of Acts with the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the belief, following in the apostles' doctrine. And that's what we do. So with that, let's get into our message. And before I yield the floor, I always come first, and then I yield the floor to Brother Bob. But it says, why should we pray? Why should we pray when we know God knows everything? Or what's the reason? Why should we even need to pray? What he is saying is we should pray because, number one, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So this is one reason that we pray. So God will hear, even though he knows everything, prayer is our greatest Christian privilege. It's a privilege for us to be able to communicate with God. But we may as well admit our greatest Christian failure, one of the greatest Christian failures, is we don't pray. We won't. It's hard to get us. We can do everything else in a day's time, but you don't find time to pray. You can find time. You can sit on, look at TV 4 or 5 hours a day. And I'm not knocking the TV. A lot of times, you know, you can find 6-7 hours to sit at a ball game. And I'm not knocking that either. But do you find time to bend your knees? Do you find time to pray? Are you interceding for somebody, a loved one maybe, co-workers, president? See, when we talk about kings and kingdoms, they have our life in their hands. So we need to be praying that God give them wisdom where we won't get a tyrant in office that would destroy the whole world. You remember Hitler? That's why we have to pray for our leaders. It's not about politically correct or if you agree or if you don't agree. You need to be praying for them. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your family. Pray for your husbands, your wives. You know, it's a dangerous world out there. So we need to make sure that we are praying that God will lead us in his wisdom. It's not about us all the time. Prayer is one of our greatest tools. All of us need to learn more how to pray and pray better. But one of the reasons that we don't pray better than we do or any more than we do is that we have questions about prayer. The question causes uncertainty. We'll say, well, if he knew everything, why do I need to pray? God knows everything. So why pray? We'll look more closely why we need to pray. Even the casual reading in the book of Acts confirms how totally the disciples depended upon prayer. And you can go to Acts 1, 12, and 14, how he said, we in the upper room, they prayed. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. That's Acts 1, 12, and 14. Even a casual, it's like, as they continue steadfastly. Now, Peter and John went up together unto the temple at the hour of prayer, Acts 3 and 1. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer, Acts 6 and 4. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God, Acts 12 and 5. Now, if prayer was not necessarily needed in a Christian's life, why am I giving you all these scriptures where they continued in prayer? The disciples. If they walked alongside Jesus for 3 years, they were dependent upon prayer. How much more are we to be dependent upon prayer? Because we don't know everything. That's why we have to depend on the Lord to give us direction and instruction. One of the most often asked questions about prayer is, why should we pray when God already knows our needs? Why tell God what he already knows or ask him to do what he already wants to do? Thank God we don't have to understand prayer in order to pray. There are some consistent, valid questions, but you don't have to understand why he allow this or why you allow that. Faith comes by believing and trusting him. Trusting his perfect will for your life. We don't have to pray to impress God. We're not heard for our much speaking like the publicans did. You don't have to use a poetic language or Shakespeare or anything like that to impress God. You speak earnestly to God with your heart. You may be driving and you may be offering up prayers to God. You may be cooking dinner, praying to God. Who told you you had to go in a prayer closet? That's not even scripture, and I'm going to be bringing out some contemplative prayer, which is mystical, mysticism. When we pray, we invite God. It's very important to understand this. We are inviting God into our lives when we pray. What you're saying, you're acknowledging, God, I need you. I don't have control over everything. I don't have it like that. I need you. I need your direction. I need your guidance. I need your strength. I need your protection. You're not looking at yourself, but you're looking to God. Amen? When we pray, we experience fellowship. We become workers together with him, 2 Corinthians 6:1. When we pray, God gives us the joy and privileges of administering his kingdom, his affairs, working together with him. He could do it without us, but he invites us too, to that communion. It develops us. When we pray, God is growing us up. A lot of times you say, well, I prayed and I haven't gotten my answer yet, but it's developing you in patience. That's a maturity. As you pray and you trust in God, even some over in Hebrews, Abraham, some of them died not seeing the promise, but they held on to the faith. Prayer binds us to God. That is why we tell God what he already knows. He knows what we have need of before we ask, but we're definitely, specifically, unequivocally told to pray and to ask. Not to impress or inform God, but to invite God so that we might have that fellowship with him, so that we might grow and we may learn to depend upon him. That's why the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And Pastor Bobby is going to get over into that. Three keys to prayer, and I want you to write this down. When you pray, you have to have patience. You have to have faith. They go hand in hand. Because sometimes when you're praying, it may not happen instantaneously. It may be years. Say if you're praying for a loved one. It may take years before you see that loved one come to know Christ. But your faith has to kick in when you pray to believe that God honors that prayer. I have children that I pray for. And at the time I was praying for them, it looked like they was getting worse. But I'm thankful to say that today, praise God, that they are saved and they're serving God. We have prayed for things, healing. Some of you have been healed of cancer, healed of all type of diseases. And even while you were going through the treatment at the hospital, you didn't know how God was going to do it. But you're free today. Some of you have been bound up with demons, demon possession. And you didn't know how you would break free of it. But God, through his mighty saving hand, delivered you from the clutches of the enemy. We've been praying. We pray for jobs. And see, all this is covered in the Lord's Prayer because he said he would meet our needs. But you have to ask. Amen. Now, here Jesus taught about hypocrisy because I want to bring out every point. That I'm going to tell you how the hypocrites prayed. And then you got this demonic teaching going around, this contemplative prayer, which I told you is a mystical prayer practice, and I'll be bringing that out. And then we will be talking about there's over 600 different prayers in the Bible. There's different types of prayer, warfare prayer, prayer for provision. There's different types of prayer, and we're going to cover those. Jesus taught about against hypocrisy in prayer. It is taken for granted that all who are disciples of Christ pray. You may as soon find living men that does not breathe as a living Christian that does not pray. And that's sad. If prayerless, then graceless. The scribes and Pharisees were guilty of two great faults in prayer: vainglory and vain repetition. To verily, verily, they have their reward. This is what Jesus told them. If in so great a matter as is between us and God, when we are at prayer, we can look to so poor thing as the praise of men, it is just that it should be all of our reward. So when you look at the men to praise you, or you get up there with vain repetition, see, because Jesus was looking at their hearts. He knew that a lot of that was just rehearsed prayer. They were just going through the motions. They didn't really mean none of that. And you see it even today. You see it even today. A lot of people, they can rehearse prayers. They sound so eloquent, but their lifestyle be so raggedy. That's how they were. Yet there is not a secret sun breathing after God, but he observes it. It is called a reward. But it is of grace, not of debt. What merit can there be in begging? If he does not give his people what they ask, it is because he knows that they do not need it. And if that is not for their good, why would he give it to you? He tell you about vain repetitions. God, let your will be done in this situation. And I hear a lot of preachers say, oh, you don't need to pray the will of God. Yes, you do. Because you may be asking for something that God said, I don't think it would be in your best interest to have that right now. Delay doesn't mean that he's not going to give it to you. You may not just be mature enough to receive it at that time. Now, he always honors the prayer of somebody's soul. He wants you to pray for the sinner. He wants you to pray for those who are oppressed. That is his will. And you don't have to say, Lord, let your will be done that this person be set free of demons. No, he already came to set the captives free. But if you're praying for your healing, and it may be taking longer than you want it to take, ask God to give you the strength. You know, Paul, he said he had a thorn in the flesh. And he never did tell you what the thorn was. But he said, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. So when you're praying for loved ones or your physical healing, say, Lord, in this situation, I don't understand, but I ask that you give me patience. Give me the strength to endure. Lord, my loved ones, touch them, touch their mind, and help me to not get bitter towards you. Because a lot of times, we unknowingly get bitter toward God. And we'll say, well, I prayed to you, and you didn't do what I said, so why, like I said, why pray anyway? You didn't do it. You didn't do it when I asked. But who are you trusting in, your own strength, or are you trusting in the strength of God? Let's talk about this contemplative prayer. It's a mystical prayer practice that leads one into the silence, but in actuality leads one away from God. And here's the definition of this contemplative prayer, and it's throughout all these, a lot of Christian churches is practicing this. And that's why we have to be so careful. The definition of contemplative spirituality is a belief system that uses ancient mystical practices to induce altered states of consciousness, the silence, and is often wrapped in Christian terminology. The premise of contemplative spirituality is pantheistic, God is all, and panatheistic, God is in all. It was Alice Bailey, the famous occult prophetess, who coined the term New Age, who made this startling assertion. And we've been talking all about the New Age. You know, now it has come into the church, crept into the church of people unaware, and they got you thinking that it's some kind of meditation where you just blank your mind out and you go into a transcendental state and you clear out your mind. This is supposed to bring you closer to God. No, it's opening you up to the demonic realm, and you don't need to do that. God ain't never told nobody to go into an altered state of consciousness. You don't have to do that. What did she mean by the term Kristen Noor? The answer is unmistakably occultism, is awakening. That's all you hear. We even got it on the Christian channels now, the awakening. It's supposed to awaken your spiritual senses, enlighten it. Saints, we need to be very careful because the enemy is so cunning and he brings in all this Eastern mysticism. It really comes from yoga, Hinduism, where you clear your mind out, where you got to go just totally blank and you're supposed to allow the spirit to come in you and it's to connect you closer to God. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Meditation is the process through which we quiet the mind and the emotions and enter directly into the experience of the divine. There is a deep connection between us. God is in each of us. See how that sounds? But they mix it with lies, and they have it sound as, well, yeah, God is in each of us, but you don't understand you're practicing occultism. So when you pray, Jesus didn't tell you that. Jesus, Pastor Bob is going to bring out the model prayer that God told us how to pray. I didn't see nowhere in that prayer that he said, empty your mind and go into an altered state of consciousness. That's not what he told us to do. He said, pray our Father. So we got to be contemplative consciousness says, here it is, is a transcultural, transreligious, transformed consciousness. It can shine through our systems, religious or irreligious. And this is, you know, this is why I said we need to be very careful. So when you're going into your places of worship on tomorrow, see how they're praying. See if they're telling you to clear out your mind so God can enter in. Excuse me. The Bible tells us not to be carried away with divers and strange doctrines. See, we got to be, and that's over in Hebrews 13:9. You can't get caught up in all this strange New Age stuff that has crept in the church. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to be on guard. Because the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. So here you got yoga, you got contemplative prayer, you got all these different things intertwined, tossed up as Christianity. And we know it's not Christianity. It's a cult. Here are some different prayers. There are 650 different prayers, and I didn't count them all, but there's different types of prayer. You got, what is prayer defined in the Bible? Prayer is lifting up our soul to God. It's pouring out our heart to God. It's crying out to God. I didn't say to you as God. I said to God. Coming before the throne of grace. Prayer is a spiritual sacrifice and the fruit of our lips, over in Hebrews 13:15. Prayer drawing close to God in friendship, fellowship, and trust, James 4:8. Prayer, see what I'm saying? Bringing our current emotional state into the presence of God. It's a humbling experience. Because you're calling on God. You're saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need your help. The best way to fight sin, if you're dealing with some sin issue, is on your knees. When you bend them knees and you start to pray and say, Lord, take out anything that is not like you in my heart. That is humbling yourself. The prayer is the most powerful force accessible to men. God won't forgive us unless we forgive others. That is in the Lord's Prayer. You have to forgive others before God can forgive you. So that's one part of prayer. When you humble yourself in the Lord's Prayer, he says, forgive us our debts. But you have to forgive. He said, before you go to God asking God for anything, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, he said, against your brother, lay your gift at the altar and go reconcile with that brother. You're not going to both go out up to God and you still got unforgiveness in your heart. That's over in Matthew 6:14-15. Then we need to pray for thanks. If there's a thanksgiving prayer, adoration, praise, and thanksgiving. Adoration for what God is, thanksgiving for what God has done. Take a look at your own life. Go back to your life. Recount how God has brought you through, how God has made a way for you, how God has did. Take it to a personal extent. Lord, I thank you how you delivered me. Lord, I thank you how you blessed my family. Lord, you can't thank God enough. That's why I say when you start praying, at first you start thanking him, then you'll find your wish, or a lot of people say, well, my list will go way on down at the bottom of the line. It won't be a list of what I want from you, but it'll be a list of how I thank you for what you've already done. Some of us just got a whole list of stuff. We get on our knees. We already got our list out. Okay, I'm asking for this. I'm asking for that. I'm asking for that. Why don't you start out with thanking them? Why don't you try that? Lord, I thank you. I thank you for another day. I thank you, Lord God, for a healthy mind, a healthy. Start thanking them. You'll see that it makes a big difference. Then there's a supplication, petitions for personal requests. Like I just said, that's wisdom. James 1, 5 and 8, he said, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. Then there's a prayer for help, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 9. Prayer for your daily needs, Matthew 6, 33. Resting and temptation, Matthew 26, 41. Then there's intercessions for others. Intercessions often soften the faith by, okay, it's that Christ intercedes for us. That's Isaiah, Romans, Hebrews, 1 Timothy. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us as we pray. Romans 8, 26 through 27. Jude 20, Ephesians 6, 18. We should intercede for other men. James 5:16, Acts 8:24, 2 Timothy. Why do I give you these scriptures? Because I want you to run reference on them. Who has the right to pray? God will answer the prayers of his children, Matthew 6:6, 26, 39, 42, 7:7, the righteous, Proverbs 15:29, 1 Peter 3:12, the obedient, John 15:7, 1 John 3, 21, 22, holy men, 1 Timothy 2, 8, characterized by godly living, devout persons who are seeking God, repentance, when you fall on your knees and you ask God to forgive you, God hear you, Acts 10, 2, 30 through 31, those who turn away from their wicked ways, 2 Corinthians. 2 Chronicles 7:14, Acts 8:22. God will not answer the prayers of those who are disobedient to God's law. That's Proverbs 28:9, 1:24:30, Psalms 66:18, Isaiah 1:15, 1 John 5:17, 1 Peter 3:12. So some of these entertainers who are out there talking about, I prayed to God and he gave me all these riches, I don't know what God you're praying to, because God said he only hear the prayer of a sinner when he repents. So if you're getting all this stuff, you better question what God, is it the God of this world? Because if you're walking in disobedience, according to the scripture that I read, God don't hear your prayer. God will not answer the prayers of those who are unforgiving toward others. Mark 11:25. James 2:13, have unforgiven sin in their life. Isaiah 59:1-2, John 9:31, self-righteous. Luke 18:9-14. When should we pray? You should pray always. You should pray day and night. It don't have to be a long, drawn-out prayer. But you can just say, Lord, thank you, praise you, driving into work, coming home from work, whenever. Sometimes men make praying so religious, but God just say pray. All times, Luke 21:36, Ephesians 6:18, Colossians 1:3, 1 Thessalonians 1:3. You should always have that praise in your mouth. And like I said, it don't have to be long drawn out. God's responses to our prayer, sometimes it may be a speedy reply. Sometimes, because he knows what we need, it may be delayed. But God will answer. But in the midst of your waiting, ask God to give you patience. So you won't go out ahead of God and try to make something happen because you tell God he takes too long. That's what happens a lot of times. It's like, well, you take it so long, so I need to do this on my own merit. Stand fast and trust God. God is not a God that he would lie. If he promised, he will bring it to pass. But you got to wait on it. Sometimes you're going to have to wait on it. Everything, people, is not instant. Everything is not microwave. Sometimes you might have to shed some tears. If you pray for those loved ones and children going astray, spouses, divorce, what, you might have to shed some tears. But let me tell you something. God will strengthen you. Because like I said earlier, though you're praying and though you trust in God, what is developing is character. And you're growing. You're growing in the things of God because you trust in God and you're telling God, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I can't make it on my own. Lord, I need you, God. So we want to always pray in God's will. Because, see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were caught up on how they looked and how elaborate their speech was. But Jesus wasn't impressed with that. That's why I told you earlier, you can't pray to impress God. God looks at a sincere heart. You can't impress God with your vain words and how great you look. That don't impress him. If we ask something that violates God's will, God will reveal it to you. God will tell you. And a lot of times you're praying for some things, and the Holy Spirit already said, he give you uneasiness in your spirit and say, you know, God don't want you to ask. That's not, you don't need to ask for that. And you'll have a wrestling in your spirit, but you determine you're going to make that thing happen. And God already told you, maybe it's not in your best interest that you should have that right now. See, because God is our Father, and he determines it is not our best interest for a reason, not only, but he understands. Now, as for the loved ones and people, your spouses, and if you're praying, ask God to give you strength. Until that person come in into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who Jesus is, but you'll be strengthened. You see what I'm saying? So I want you to continue to pray for us, and I hope that was helpful to you. I gave you an account, example of prayers. I told you why we should pray, the type of prayers that to get your prayers answered. Number one, you can't go to God with an arrogant attitude. You got to go to God in a humble attitude. You're going to get them, if you got unconfessed sin and you walk in contrary and disobedience, that's not going to get your prayers answered. So when you pray, ask God to take out anything that's like it. And like I said, unforgiveness will not get your prayers answered. So I hope that's helpful. And at that, I'm going to yield the floor over to my spouse. And you guys be blessed. Amen.
Well, praise God, people of the Most High God. And we are just thankful for what has gone forth already in reference to what Sister Montgomery has said in reference to prayer to get results. I'm going to elaborate on that a little more in reference to the Word. She brought out much in reference to prayer, much in reference to prayer that gets results, prayer that works in your life. But we don't want to go any further without talking about the prayer that our Lord and Savior told us and instructed us to pray. Now, I'm coming out of Matthew 6. I'm going to read that chapter because in that particular chapter, it brings out what the Lord was saying in his prayer. And his prayer is relatively short, but it's short and very powerful. This prayer gets results in every aspect of your life, naturally, spiritually, and financially. It gets results. It works, people. It works, children of the Most High God. But it must be done as Christ tells us to do it. All right. I'm going to the scripture now. Matthew 6. Now, before I get into some prayer, before I get into the method of the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to read a little bit before that. Matthew 6 and 1 reads, "Be careful not to do your good works in public in order to attract," here, "in order to attract attention. If you do, your Father in heaven will not reward you." So when you give to the poor, don't announce it with trumpet fanfare. Don't do that. Don't do that. This is what hypocrites do in synagogues and on the streets in order to be praised by people. They do all. So you don't even need to do things like that. Now, that's what the Lord said. All right? I can guarantee this truth. That will be their only reward, people looking at them, people seeing what they do. So that's their reward. The admonition of people is their reward. But they don't get any reward in heaven. They don't get any reward from God. You don't want your prayers to be like that. When you give to the poor, don't let your hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You don't do that. Give your contribution privately. Your Father sees what you do in private, and he will reward you. Now, that's one thing that Jesus said before he even started talking about prayer. Interesting, isn't it? It's interesting. Now, Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. In other words, you don't have to get into a long, drawn-out, long-worded, speechy prayer. You don't have to do that. Because the Lord said, when you do that, guess what? Your reward is going to be that long, wordy, speechy, good-sounding prayer that people heard. Your reward is people hearing your prayer. Nothing else, you see. If it's not from the heart, if it's just something that you thought up, if it's just something that sounds good, you wrote out a prayer that somebody else wrote, it's not coming from your heart and it's long and wordy. The Lord says, your only reward for that prayer is people hearing it and people praising you for it. But God really didn't hear it, and he's not going to reward you for it. Now, we're talking about prayer to get results. That's the reason why I'm bringing all this out. But what did the Lord say? The Lord said, when you pray, go to your room and close the door. Pray privately to your Father, all right, who is with you. Your Father sees what you do in private. He will reward you. So what the Lord basically said was this. Not so much that you go in your literal closet and close the door, but that you don't pray in a manner to receive praise from men. That you don't go out and put yourself out there like you're some great somebody. Like you're all that. You're a connoisseur of prayer. Nobody else can pray like you. Nobody else can use the great words you use in your prayer. You are looking for people to pat you on your back and say how great and good a prayer you just did. The Lord is saying, don't do that. You don't have to do that because God hears every prayer you pray, even when you pray in your heart. That's what he's talking about. Even when you pray in your mind, even when you pray a silent prayer, even when you whisper a prayer out of your heart, with all of your heart, meaning it from your heart to God, God hears that, and he will reward that type of prayer. Now, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said that. The Word of God said that. If you don't believe me, go to Matthew 6, is there, and read it for yourself. Okay? Now, the Lord did say that he gave us a way to pray, and he said, pray like this, or say this when you pray. He said, Our Father in heaven, let your name be kept holy. Don't take God's name for granted. It's holy. Keep it holy. He said, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in earth, on earth, as it is in heaven. I'm going to get into that a little later. Give us our daily bread today. Our daily bread today. We don't have to worry about tomorrow, but I'm going to bring that out later. And Jesus, he's bringing all of this out. Okay. Forgive us as we forgive others. Don't allow us to be tempted. Instead, rescue us from the evil one. Now, I'm gonna go a little bit into this because I just read the Lord's Prayer, and that's a short prayer. It's a familiar prayer. Everybody prays this prayer. But I'm going to go into it a little more. Because what we're talking about tonight is prayer to get results. See, if you're praying and you are a believer and the Lord is your Savior and nothing is happening, then you need to check yourself. You need to go into the scriptures. You need to check yourself. You need to see where the error is. Because the Lord already has told you that he hears your prayers. Now, if you're not getting any results, if you're not getting any answers, then you need to check yourself, okay? Because the problem is not in God, it's not in Christ, it's not in his word. So we all have to check ourselves. We have to check the condition of our heart to see what's blocking or hindering that prayer. Now, the scripture tells us the things that hinders prayer, but I'm going to read it from the scripture. I'm not going to give you my thoughts. I'm going to give you the scripture, the word of God, and what God says about prayer, the answers to prayers, and the hindrance to prayers, bringing all of that out. Okay? Now this is what Jesus is saying here. In Matthew 6 and 14, it reads, if you forgive the failures of others, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your failures. See, that's a hindrance to prayer right there. As Sister Montgomery said earlier, unforgiveness will hinder your prayer. And it will keep you from getting the result that you need. That you need. So that unforgiveness that you might be holding in your heart, you got to get rid of that. You got to forgive that person. And not only do you have to forgive that person, many times you have to forgive yourself. You see? You have to forgive yourself. Why? Because if you don't, condemnation and guilt will set in. And when those things set in, it brings out roots of bitterness and it leads to other sins. And so if you're not forgiving people, God is not forgiving you. And so therefore, you're still in your sin. You're still lost. You can't be like that. And if you're lost, and if you're a sinner, the scripture already told you from previous scriptures that have been mentioned before, God is not hearing your prayer. All right? Oh, no, that's the word. It says that God hears the prayers of the righteous and the believers and the obedient. Okay? You understand me? Now, then the Lord goes into fast, and he says, when you fast, stop looking sad like hypocrites. They put on a sad face to make it obvious that they're fasting. Fasting and prayer goes together. I can guarantee this truth. Their only reward will be from people looking at them, from people noticing that they're fasting, that people will say, a brother or sister over there, he's fasting, he's really doing something for the Lord. I see him. He's suffering, he's hurting right now, he's going without food. And he let me know it. But the Lord said that's not what you do. Because when you do that, then your only reward is what those people say in reference to what you're doing. But that's not what you want. God doesn't work that way. God always looks at the intent of your heart when you pray. Say, when you fast, wash your face, comb your hair. That way your fasting won't be obvious. Nobody really needs to know, just like your prayer. Nobody needs to know when you're praying. Nobody needs to know when you're fasting. Only God needs to know when you're praying. Only God needs to know when you're fasting. So God is looking at the intent of your heart and everything that you do for him. Now, we're talking about prayer to get results. So we're giving you the word on prayer to get results. It says here, instead, it will be obvious to your Father who is with you in private. Your Father sees what you do in private, and he will reward you, and he will reward you openly. So here it is, brothers and sisters in Christ. When you are praying, when you are fasting for results, when you are praying out of the sincereness of your heart, when that prayer is answered, everybody will see it, and God will get the glory. And your life will be a witness and a testimony to the great things that God has done in your life because you prayed a prayer according to what Jesus said, according to the will of God. And that prayer will be answered. Now, there is a timeline on that, and that's why we have to have patience when we render a prayer, and we render the proper prayer according to the will of God. Your prayers, brothers and sisters in Christ, will be answered according to the will of God when you are praying the will of God. Now, I'm going to get into some more things. Now, this is all what I'm reading to you now is all in reference to the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to talk about riches and things like this also. Now, Jesus said, and this is right after he spoke the Lord's Prayer and told people how to pray. He said, stop storing up treasures for yourselves on earth. Uh-oh. Where moths and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. And said, store up treasures for yourselves in heaven where moths and rust don't destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. Your heart will be where your treasure is. Now, this is a part of the Lord's Prayer now. This is explaining the Lord's Prayer. This is bringing it out even more. Jesus said the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is unclouded, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how dark it will be. No one can serve two masters. He will hate the first master and love the second. Or he will be devoted to the first and despise the second. You cannot serve God and wealth or God and money. But Jesus said in the first part of the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, let your name be kept holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread today. Forgive us as we forgive others. You hear that? Don't allow us to be tempted. Instead, rescue us from the evil one. And then Jesus said right here, no one can serve two masters. He will hate the first master and love the second. Or he will be devoted to the first and despise the second. You cannot serve God and wealth. You say, wow, you mean all of that is all in the Lord's Prayer? Yes, it is. Jesus brought it all out to let you know and realize what's incorporated and what's involved in the prayer that Jesus told us to pray. Now, as Sister Montgomery said earlier, there are all kinds of different prayers out there that God has instructed us to pray, and they get results. But all of them come under the Lord's Prayer. They're in there. That's how great that prayer is. And he gave it to us. All right? Jesus said, stop worrying. So I tell you to stop worrying about what you will eat, drink, or worry. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds. They don't plant harvest or gather the harvest into barns. They don't do any of that. They don't do that. They don't do that. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them every day. The Lord feeds the fowl of the air. And they tell me that birds eat a lot. They say they eat anywhere from 5 to 10 times their body weight, so they're basically flying and eating. That's all they do. Fly around looking for something to eat. They eat it, then they go and fly somewhere else, eat something else, and then go fly somewhere else. That's what they do all day long. But God feeds them. God provides for those birds. And then Jesus said, aren't you worth more than they? That's what he said. And Jesus said, give us our daily bread daily. But he feeds everything out there. Everything that God created, every animal, every insect, every fish, God feeds and takes care of. Everything out there, God provides for them. So he's going to provide for you. And he's going to provide for you every day what you need. That's a fact, and that's the truth of God's word. That's a fact, and that's the truth of God's word. Now, and Jesus said again, can any of you add a single hour to your life by worrying? You can't add any time to your life by worrying. You can't do it. And why worry about clothes? Notice how the flowers grow in the field. They never work or spin yarn for clothes. But I say that not even Solomon in all his majesty was dressed like one of these flowers. I don't care how well Solomon dressed or how colorful his clothing was. He could not even match one flower that God made. Now, that's amazing. So why worry about your clothing? That's the way God clothes the grass in the field. Today it's alive, and tomorrow it's thrown into an incinerator, into a furnace. So how much more will he clothe you people who have so little faith? Jesus said, don't ever worry and say, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Everyone is concerned about these things, and your heavenly Father certainly knows you need all of them. He knows this. But first, be concerned about his kingdom and what has his approval. Then all these things will be provided for you. So don't ever worry about tomorrow. After all, tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, that, like what I just read to you, that was Matthew 6, okay? That was Matthew 6. That was all basically an elaboration on the prayer that the Lord just told his disciples to pray. Now, I'm going to bring out something else. All right, yes. I'm going to bring out something else in Luke 11, and it's talking about the same prayer. But it brings out a little different element in that prayer. Now, what Jesus was basically talking about in Matthew 6, he was talking about the natural elements or the natural results of prayer, of the things that we need in this daily life, food, clothing, housing, transportation, things in reference to our health and our strength, carnal things, basically, is what he's talking about. And what Jesus said really was, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said all these other things will be added to you. So that is a given, okay? That is a given. God said he's going to take care of you, but there were some conditions. There were some conditions for your prayer being answered. And one of the main conditions, if you remember now, is forgiveness. 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 Forgive others. Because if you don't forgive, you're hindering your own prayers. And many times when people do things to us and we hold that grudge, that person that hurt us, he's going on about his life. He's not thinking about you like that. And you're holding that grudge, and that person is going on with his life, and you're developing all kinds of sicknesses and diseases and mental anguish. You're hurting because of what that person did to you, and he's forgotten about you. He has forgotten about you, and you're still holding on to that hurt. You won't release that person, and you're the one suffering for it. And as a result of you holding that unforgiveness, you are blocking the things that God has for you. You are hindering your own prayers. So you have to loose that. You have to loose that. But remember, Jesus Christ forgave you. He forgave you. He gave his life for you while you were yet sinning, while you were yet cursing him, while you were yet running from him and doing all manner of evil against the Lord Jesus Christ still died on the cross for you, and he still forgave you. So how much more should you forgive people who do evil against you and not hold it in your heart? For it produces bitterness. For it produces condemnation. For it produces sickness and disease and mental anguish. Forgive. You want to be blessed? You want your prayers answered? Forgive. 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 Forget about what somebody else is going to think about you, but you get your heart right with God. And the only way you're going to get your heart right with God in Christ is through forgiving, the same way he forgave you. All right? Now, that's the only thing I'm going to say about that. That's one issue that all of us need to deal with. All right? Now, I'm going to Luke 11. Luke 11. It says, once Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he stopped praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples, we're going right back to the Lord's Prayer. But I want to bring out something that Luke said in his scripture in reference to what the Lord said in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus told him, he said, when you pray, say this. Jesus said, when you pray, say this. Father, I'm going to say basically the same thing. Let your name be kept holy. In other words, God's name is above every other name, all right? The name of God is above every other name. What the scripture say? Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's Jesus. There's no other name above the name of our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that name is holy and should be kept holy. Jehovah God, Yahweh, I am that I am. That name is to be kept holy. And then he says, let your kingdom come. Give us our bread day by day. Forgive us as we forgive everyone else. And don't allow us to be tempted. Now, that's Luke's rendition of the Lord's Prayer. You see, it's all hinging on forgiveness. What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What is the part of his righteousness? It's you forgiving others as he has forgiven you. To God, that is righteous. You cannot have unforgiveness in your heart and get answers from the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, if you have unforgiveness and evil in your heart, and you're praying and you're getting answers to your prayer, and you're unrighteous, disobedient, unforgiving, hateful, and evil, then you need to wonder where that's coming from. Is it coming from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or is it coming from the God of this world? Because I'm going to tell you something. The God of this world, the devil, evil spirits, and demons will give you things. Do you hear me? They will give you things, and you will not have to change your lifestyle one iota. As a matter of fact, you can live as evil as you want to be, or as evil as you want to, and get all the wealth of this world, and die and be lost, thinking that you're pleasing God. And that's why we're saying what we're saying tonight. So you won't be deceived. You won't be tricked. And you'll get the correct answers to your prayers from the true and living God. But you can't get answers to your prayer by living any kind of way. Not from God you won't get them. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? I want you to understand that. Now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the power of prayer, and then I'm going to go to a few more scriptures. Excuse me. Now, Jesus said this in Luke 11 and 5. Jesus said to his disciples, suppose one of you has a friend. Suppose you go to him at midnight and say, friend, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a trip has dropped in on me, and I don't have anything to serve him. I didn't know he was coming, so I didn't prepare for him to come, so I don't have any extra food. So, I need your help. And so your friend might answer you from inside his house. He said, man, don't bother me. I'm asleep. I'm in his sleep. My kids are asleep. I don't want to wake them up. And why are you coming over here at 1 o'clock in the morning anyway, asking for some loaves of bread? Man, I can't help you right now. But what happened? Jesus said, I can guarantee that although he doesn't want to get up and to give you anything, he will get up and give you whatever you need because he's your friend and because you were so bold to go and ask him at this time of the night, out of your desperation. And he noticed your desperation. He didn't want to do it. He's tired. He's sleepy. The kid's in the bed asleep. He don't want to wake his family up. But nevertheless, the man got up, and he gave you what you wanted. He gave you some bread. He gave you what you needed to take care of your guest. That's how prayer is. You come boldly before the throne of grace. But when you go boldly before the throne of grace, you have to have the correct and the right attitude, and your heart has to be right, okay? And you can't go with malice in your heart. And you have to go humbly, and with the right frame of mind and with the right heart. God will answer your prayer when it's done in the correct way. Now, I'm going to go into something else. So Jesus said, I tell you to ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Everyone who asks will receive, and the one who searches will find, and for the person who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, I'm getting ready to go around the corner here. As I said earlier, in Matthew 6, Jesus was talking about things that we need for the physical body. But in Luke 11, he was talking about something else. And I'm going to give this to you here. He says, if your child asks you, his father, for a fish, would you give him a snake instead? No, you wouldn't do that. Or if your child asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? You wouldn't do that either. Even though Jesus said, even though you're evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. And he was right about that. So how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, you see that? Now, Jesus went from the realm of the natural to the realm of the spiritual. First, he was talking about food and clothing, shelter, your way being made on this earth. But in Luke, he was referring to the things of the kingdom, the things of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. You see that? So you can pray and ask for that. But even that has to be done with a pure heart. You can't have unforgiveness in you when you're asking for things of the Spirit. Do you see? Do you understand? When it comes to getting results to your prayer, you have to be righteous. You need to be humble. You need to be clean. You need to be forgiving in your heart. Your mind must be pure on the things of God. Your heart must be cleansed. If you're praying to God and you're running around hating people, you can just forget that. If you're praying to God and you got unforgiveness in your heart, you might as well forget that. If you're praying to God and you have a filthy mind, forget it. The first thing you need to do, if you're like that, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you. Repent, put it under the blood. Repent, put it under the blood. Have the Lord to wash you and cleanse you, and then go on with your prayer. And he will answer it. But he will answer it according to his timetable and not ours. So that's the reason why you have to have faith and you have to have patience and you have to have endurance. And I'm going to get into that a little bit also. Now, I'm going to go to you now to Hebrews 10. Now, we just talked about prayer and prayer to get results. But I'm going to say this to you. After you have done everything that the Lord just said, okay, faith and prayer, you can compare that to a seed. Now, I would say this. Now, sometimes God will answer prayers immediately. Now, when you're praying for salvation and you want the Lord to save you, it's an immediate thing. He'll do that right away. But some other things take a little time. It's kind of like a seed, a farmer. You don't go out and even grass seed, you don't go out and throw grass seed out in your yard, even if you, you know, cultivate the ground a little bit and you rough the ground up a little bit, you throw the rocks and things out, you till it somewhat, you don't go out there and throw grass seed out in your yard and get up the next day and you expect a full lawn out there. It's just green, just full of grass, grass everywhere. There was no grass yet the other day. It was just barren ground. You go out there, you throw grass seed out there that day, and then the next day you got a yard full of grass. It doesn't happen like that. Yeah, I mean, I would like to go and buy that seed if there's some seed that does that, that grow up 3 inches one night when there's nothing out there. Now, I would buy that grass seed tomorrow, but I haven't seen any like that. But many times, what the example I'm making is sometimes that's how prayer is. You're going to have to wait on it. You're going to have faith and patience for it. Because sometimes it's not that he hasn't answered it. He heard it as soon as you prayed it. He heard your prayer as soon as you prayed that prayer. But sometimes it's not automatic. Many times it's not automatic. So that's where your patience is going to come in. That's where your faith is going to have to come in. And that's where your endurance come in, so that you can wait on the result of your prayer, so that it will be a testimony to the things that God has done in your life. And that is the truth of the matter. But let me read this to you, coming out of Hebrews. I'm going to do this first. I'm going to read out of James 5, and then I'll go to Hebrews. And these are familiar verses. I'm bringing them out to you. But it reads like this, James 5 and 13. It says here, if any of you have in trouble, pray. If you are happy, sing psalms. If you are sick, call for the church leaders or church elders. Have them pray for you and anoint you with olive oil in the name of the Lord. Prayers offered in faith will save those who are sick. Did you hear that? Prayers offered in faith will save those who are sick. It didn't say might. It says will save those who are sick, and the Lord will cure them. It says if you have sinned, you will be forgiven. So admit your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you will be healed. Now, did you see that part right there? Prayers offered in faith will save those who are sick. The Lord will cure them. But listen. If you have sinned, you will be forgiven. So what is that saying? That's saying that God can heal your body and save your soul at the same time when the prayer is offered in faith to Christ Jesus. So what does that mean? That means you are not to take your salvation and your healing for granted. And then God heals you of something, God delivers you of something, and after you get up off your sick bed, you go back to doing the things that you were doing before God healed you. No, no, no. You can't do that. The Lord Jesus said not to do that in his word, because he said when you do that, you have opened the door back to that sickness and to that ailment to come back to you, because you have gone back to it. You see? So salvation and healing, when it's of God, is close together. And you need to consider that. You need to consider that. Listen to this here. Now I'm going to say that the frequent fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, James 5 said, prayers offered by those who have God's approval are effective. Now it talks about Elijah. Say, Elijah was a man, was a human like us. Yet when he prayed that it wouldn't rain, no rain fell on the ground for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again, it rained and the ground produced crops. Now, what happened? What happened? Elijah was praying the will of God in obedience to God at the time God told him to pray, and he prayed. And as a result of his faith in God, at the time there was a drought in the land, Elijah prayed that prayer in obedience to God, according to the will of God, and guess what? A miracle happened, and it rained when it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. But when Elijah prayed that prayer, it rained, and it produced crops, and the people would not starve. So what am I saying? But Elijah, he prayed a lot of, he did some things in his lifetime. He performed many miracles. And he prayed some prayers and God heard him. But what I want to bring out now in Hebrews 10 is this. The Lord said, Paul said, so don't lose your confidence. This is Hebrews 10:35. Don't lose your confidence. It will bring you a great reward. You need endurance so that after you have done what God wants you to do, what God wants you to do, you can receive what he has promised. So, saints of the Most High God, when you pray and you're praying to get results, we're telling you how to do that. Hold on to your prayer. Hold on to your faith. Don't lose your confidence because God will answer that prayer. When you are praying the will of God in your life, and when you are asking God for things according to his word, and you are not asking for things just out of greed and avarice and covetousness, just to consume it upon your own lust, guess what? God will answer that prayer for you. Because it's according to his will. It's according to his word. And so, yes, it is God's will that you be blessed. But the greatest blessing it is salvation. The greatest blessing it is to be filled with the Spirit of the Most High God, to be full of the Holy Ghost, to have the Word of God emanating from you, and have the Spirit of God active in you. That's the greatest blessing you can have. Let me read something else. Yet the one who is coming will come soon. He will not delay. The person who has God's approval will live by faith. But if he turns back, I will not be pleased with him. Now, let's check this out. We don't belong with those who turn back and are destroyed. Instead, we belong with those who have faith and are saved. Praise the Lord. Now, we're talking about prayer to get results. Now, when you're talking about prayer, oh, you can talk about that a long time, all right? But we want to try to bring this to an area where you can receive, grab hold to it, and run with it. And know that, yeah, God, when you are a believer in Christ Jesus, God hears every prayer that you pray. But we need to get into the scripture. Get into the word of God and know the will of God. Now, the will of God is this, that you be saved, filled with the Spirit, that you be delivered, that you be set free, that you be healed, that you have the correct mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The scripture also said that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is the will of God. It's God's will that we be fully armored, that we have on the whole armor of God. That's God's will. It's God's will that we love one another and that we support one another. That's God's will. It's God's will that we pray for one another, that we have faith, that we exercise faith. You see? It's God's will that we prosper and be in good health even as our soul prospers. That's God's will. Thank you. That's God's will. So when we're praying along those lines, guess what? God is going to move. He's going to move. Because you're praying in obedience to him. That you're praying according to his will. You're not praying selfish prayer. Lord, I got to have. Give me the new everything. I got to have the $500 million house. Give me the Rolls Royce. I'm not going to let anybody else ride in it, but give it to me anyway. Give me the $1 million. I got to be the best looking thing on the block. I got to have it all. Lord, Lord, give me. He's not going to answer all those prayers because you're asking amiss. Go to James. If you don't believe me, go to the book of James. Jesus just said, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added. He didn't say just be greedy, just beg out of covetousness and jealousy. That's nowhere in Scripture. You're not going to get your prayers answered like that from God. Now, you might get an answer, but it might not be from the Lord. You might get some stuff, but it might not be from the Lord. So we have to check ourselves. Now, I thank God for you all listening today. Our time is about up. But we just want you to be encouraged. We want you to get in your word. Don't take my word for it. Don't take Sister Montgomery's word for it. Get in your Bible. We admonish you. We encourage you to get in your Bible and read it. Run reference in it. Read it and then look around and see evidence of it. See evidence of the Word of God in your life. Try it. Try the Lord. If you need prayer, you can go to our website at kogm.net, and we have an area there where you can email us and write to us. We'll be more than happy to email you back and pray for you. All right? So right now we're gonna end it. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and I'm glad you were listening to us, and I pray that you are blessed. We're going to close out now. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I thank God for everyone that has listened to the broadcast tonight in reference to prayer to get results. Father God, I ask that you touch their hearts, their minds, strengthen them in every aspect of your word, in every aspect of the Spirit. Father God, we ask that you bless them, Lord, deliver them and set them free. We come against every hindrance in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against every foul spirit in the name of Jesus. We come against spirits of depression. We come against spirits that would oppress. We bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Yeah. Why do you look like that?